to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. Also, please visit our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. If you would like to hear prior shows, they are all archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about overcoming setbacks. Now setbacks are something that happens, right? And they're not generally our fault or anything. They just occur because, well, the process doesn't always go in a straight line, right? And as we often do on this show, because we are practical people and not just theorists, we're going to first talk about what the definition of a setback. What is a setback within the context of this show, of what we talk about every week? The context of a seminar, a workshop, an alternative dispute resolution, a negotiation, a mediation, whatever it is that we're doing that involves people trying to get together and reach consensus and reach a common goal, or as we say in the opening, a common good. Yeah, so within our context, not really in the personal one, but just in the context of the group, what is a setback? What's the kind of a setback that we ordinarily see? And I see we have lots of participation. Thank you all for being here. How wonderful. Let's see. Now, this is a fairly a good starter definition and giving a lot of agreement. Gary and others are saying that a setback within our context is a temporary defeat. Mm-hmm. And I do like the word temporary, don't we? Because just because we have not, well, we've hit a little bump in the road, so to speak, it's not the end of the world. We're not going to quit. It is a temporary setback, a temporary defeat that we're not going to think about and think about how to overcome it, right? Yeah, a temporary defeat. And a lot of people are agreeing, but saying that it doesn't have to be a defeat because that's kind of big. It can be anything that, well, pushes us off the path of success. Mm-hmm. Any kind of a bump in the road, it doesn't have to be a defeat kind of implies we're going to have trouble recovering from it. But temporary is the key to it, and it's something that didn't go our way. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. Something that we have to think about how to overcome and work around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crystal and others are saying that a setback within our context is an argument that takes the group off course. An argument that takes the group off course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes we get round in some sort of an argument, some sort of an opinion. Someone is very excited about something, or maybe several people are. But it kind of is a side issue. Ever have that? Yeah, we're getting a lot of agreement. Mm-hmm, yeah, and some examples where really, and thank you for all of your participation, it really is not going to get us to the finish line. We've gone kind of sideways. It's interesting, mm-hmm, and people feel passionate about it, and it might even, the argument that takes the group off course might even have something to do with the issues. I mean, it's not necessarily completely extraneous in some strange way. But we've got a goal, right? And we've talked about mission and focus in other shows especially. RecipeForPeaceNow.com is the website where they're archived. And it's like, well, we have a goal, we have a mission, And the argument that we're now kind of debating and taking time with, it's not going to lead us towards our goal. Mm-hmm. And really, somebody has to say so. And that's our job as leader. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you say it very diplomatically. And you kind of work it back, the argument, the discussion. Not really an argument, it's a discussion, right? You work it back towards the path, the focus, the process, so that we can achieve our goal. And not get so bogged down or so run astray that people kind of leave the group and quit and the whole thing implodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got to keep going forward. Right. And that is a setback that happens all the time, right? When we're doing any kind of negotiation, sometimes people go off on a side trip. It's our duty as leader to help them get back onto the path that's going to lead us to success. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of agreement about that. It's kind of like, yes. And yes, I suppose, you know, this is a very practical show. I suppose it is more easier said than done, which is the comment that I'm getting lots. To a certain extent, I'm going to say it depends, because I know you guys think I say that a lot, but I do, because it does. It depends. It depends on the group and on the issues. But always, we as leader look for that, look to see if we're still heading forward, still heading towards the goal, or we've kind of slid off. And it's very important to stop it immediately and not let some sort of a side argument linger and get bigger. Does that make sense? Yeah. And this is where you have to really listen carefully. And, you know, we emphasize listening on this program because it is very important. And if you see as leader that we're getting away from the main issue and that things are like heating up in a sideways manner, does that make sense? That it's very important to steer the conversation back. Mm-hmm. And at the very end of the show, we talk about using food as a tool. Mm-hmm. I know some people are going, yeah, you don't always. This is true. Sometimes we have so much discussion on this show, and it's only an hour long, which seems like a long time, but really isn't. Sometimes we never get to the recipes. These recipes, these two have been on the book, on the show, ready to be talked about for like four times. We don't always get, because, you know, the conversation is the most important part, right? And the information and the learning. And the recipes are nice, but you've got recipes in your cookbooks and things like that. But anyway, I digressed. But sometimes that's when it's time for a timeout, right? And one of the things that Recipe for Peace now advocates, and we have very few rules, of course, but it's kind of a good idea, is that if you're going to have a timeout, it's to keep people in the room and so that you can talk to them kind of one-on-one, privately, you know what I mean, and kind of smooth things over and kind of say, well, we've got to get back to the main issues, and that's very you're very diplomatic and very kind and like that and not in front of the whole group, right? And that's why we advocate having the food in the room. It's a tool, and I always say this, it's a tool to get people to talk to each other and to also kind of break what's happening, take a time out and regroup, right, and kind of defuse the situation. It works extremely well. You've got food in the room. We've got something to eat. We've got something to drink, maybe alcoholic, maybe not, and like that. And it gives people a moment to take two deep breaths, think about where we're headed, and it gives you as the leader a moment to speak a little privately with the various parties that are, how shall I put this delicately, dragging us off into the woods. Because we're about to have a setback, right? We're about to go off topic and not maybe get back together again so well. So you have to stop it immediately, and those timeouts are a good way to do that, because it breaks the chain of thought. Yes, it breaks the argument. It keeps people from getting all wound around on their position, and then it's hard to steer into a different direction, back onto course. That makes sense. Yes, it's the reason why we advocate the potluck, the food that for the break, for the timeouts. Because it gives us a lovely way to make a timeout without going, we're getting off path because you guys are arguing about that. No, we're diplomats, right? And a timeout's always a nice thing, a timeout to make something, eat something, take 3 deep breaths and cool down something. Yeah, so that's, in my opinion, the argument that takes off course, as we were talking about, which is creates a setback, you can prevent that setback from happening. Watch for it. It happens in every group, especially in groups where they're not very close on the issues. You know, some groups, some alternative dispute resolutions, some groups that need leadership, some organizations that need to get together, some workshops and seminars even, the participants are really all of one mind. They just don't know how to get there. They don't know how, they're of consensus about the goal, but they're having trouble getting there, which is why we're called in, right? Because they're diverse groups, but they're not that far apart. Sometimes the participants, the various groups, are very far apart, because we've talked about preconceived notions and bias and like that on prior shows, and they're all archived on the website, recipeforpeacenow.com. But the participants are far apart because they've got different reasons for wanting the outcome. And that's when you get people that start arguing about side things that don't make any difference. In reality, as a practical thought, and I'm practical in my negotiations, etc., just like we're practical on this show, as a practical thought, it makes really no difference why, as long as we're all in agreement of the outcome that we want to have, right? Yeah. Yes, thank you. I'm getting lots of participation with people disagreeing, because that's the practical thought. That's the outcome. But as a realistic thought during the process, that's when you get the disagreements that have no relationship to reaching the goal. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. It's an argument that takes the group off course. We watch for those, and we keep everybody forward thinking towards the goal, because the goal is the goal. It's what we want. It's the outcome that we want. Why we want it may be very different, but the outcome's the same. Let's all get together. Yeah. Roberto and others are saying that also lack of agreement concerning the next step in the process creates a setback. These are really... Yeah, in a sense, a set is not so much a temporary defeat, it's a temporary stall in the process, right? These things bog down the process. They create a stall. They create, we're kind of stuck here, and we need to get over the bump to go forward, right? And lack of agreement concerning the next step in the process is one of those things that stalls the process. It kind of makes it come to a halt while we think about it. I think, yeah, a lot of people are saying that this lack of agreement concerning the next step in the process is where the leader tells you what the next step is. Yeah. And it depends what kind of a group you've got. Sometimes that's what they need. They need you to just tell them, this is what we're going to do, and not have everything open to discussion and voted on. This is the next step. Let's find out how to get there. Mm-hmm. And if it's fairly clear, yeah, I've done that. Not every teeny-weeny thing needs to be democratically open for vote necessarily. Mm-hmm. Depends on the group. Kind of why they've got you and me is to lead them through the process. Mm-hmm. And so you know me, those of you who have been here before, thank you all for returning, and those of you who are new, I am quite diplomatic about these things. So I am sensitive to being nice. But I think that one can kind of say, this is what we're going to do in a nice way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next step in the process is something that we steer. Unless the group is really in agreement and they're marching forward and you can get them to steer it. I mean, it's best if they all think it's their idea. Let's face it. But we're the facilitator, really. And sometimes it has to be an idea that is presented as a fact, kind of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you get the consensus that we're all going to do that. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting one, and kind of quite a few people are saying this in different ways. Brenda says that you get a setback when you're doing these kinds of negotiations like that, when you get distracted by assigning blame. Get distracted by assigning blame. Sometimes things don't go so well, right? And sometimes it is kind of somebody's fault. Yeah. It is kind of somebody's fault. It somebody did something that really wasn't a good idea, right? And it's caused a problem. Well, if they're still in the group, because sometimes people, just like they delicately, leave the group, but if they still must be there, we can analyze what went wrong and fix it, but assigning blame and pointing fingers, it's not going to get you anywhere. And it's been, yes, thank you, it's been my experience and the experience of quite a few of you, and thank you for all of your participation, that getting bogged down and assigning blame and just not being able to go forward after somebody does something kind of bad or maybe incompetent, sometimes that's the reason that the person did the bad thing. They want the group to dissolve. They don't want you to go forward, right? Well, don't play their game. You know, the Blue Angels have a little saying. The Blue Angels are people are going, what's the Blue Angels? They're an Air Force, I don't know if stunt flying is really what it would be called, but they go around to events and stuff. They're Air Force pilots. They're Air Force fancy planes. They're very sleek. They're blue in color. And they go around all over the United States, I don't know about other countries, and they do exhibition flying. Anyway, it's fancy. It's a big honor to be a Blue Angel. And the United States, they go around all summer long, which leads them to my thought, because they come by where I am. So the Blue Angels have a motto, and I like it a lot. It's fess up, fix it, and move on. That's what you do when somebody has done something not so good. You find out, you know who did it, fess up, fix it, instead of just assigning blame, and move on. Because really, probably that's what they didn't want you to do. Yeah, they want you to get bogged down and not be able to go forward. No, 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 no. Fess up, fix it, and move on. Yeah. Yeah, I'm very big on that little model. That happens occasionally. Oftentimes, thoughtlessly by someone in the group, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't a deliberate act. They were just thoughtless. A lot of thoughtlessness shows up in social media. I don't know why people do all kinds of stuff on social media that they wouldn't dream of doing in person. I suspect people do it at 3 in the morning after they've been drinking. I mean, really. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm getting a lot of agreement with that. I mean, people just put all kinds of things. And then they act like nobody's going to see it. Excuse me. Everybody's going to see it. You just put it on your blog that people subscribe to, or your Facebook page or something. Please. You know, I make the little speech if I've got that kind of a group, and I make the little speech about let's all not talk about the negotiation while we're negotiating, right? Yeah? I remind people not to, that it's confidential, if it is, which sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. And I actually ask people not to text or Facebook, whatever it is, not to type things on their mobile devices while we're together. Mm-hmm. Because people have this tremendous urge to just, I don't know, just say something that they, as they're sitting there, that they don't think about the repercussions. They don't mean to, really, a lot of times, honestly. You know, I just said that people sometimes do it as a plot, so to speak, to get the group to dissolve. Sometimes they're just clueless. And yeah, I got a lot of votes for clueless. Social media is the darndest thing. People just say stuff, and then they never get back to it, or people never see the second part, and like that. So yes, I ask people to not report to social media how we're doing while we're doing it, if it's a confidential. Sometimes we use social media for our benefit, if we need volunteers, if we need help, if we need, you know, sometimes it goes both ways. I mean, social media is a wonderful tool, but you got to remember that it's a tool that everybody sees, and to use it graciously and with a circumspection, you know, just be careful and not just say stuff. Yeah. So I actually ask people when I do any kind of a workshop, a seminar, mediation, whatever it is we're doing, I actually ask people to put away their devices and not text, not report in, unless we'd like it reported in, right? Because sometimes if you're doing a seminar or a workshop, it's something that you want to have hashtagged all over the world, right? Because it's not controversial, and it's good for everybody to know that you're doing it and to think about it and to call in and email, you know what I mean, message in and like that. So it might be cool. Sometimes it is. When I do big workshops and seminars, it's very cool. Everybody brings their computer, their tablet, their phone, whatever. And sometimes not so cool if it's something that's private. Yeah. So anyway. So that's the getting distracted and the blame. Sometimes it's not intentional. Yeah. And that's to be taken into account, too. And did I just mention fess up, fix it, and move on? Yeah, that's the ticket. Okay. Now, we have a lot of people, and thank you for all of your participation. We've had a lot of comments that I'm going to call lack of consensus. Just for time purposes, that we really have a setback, we have a bump in the road, the process is stalling because we have a lack of consensus. Shafiq and others are saying petty disagreement causes lack of consensus, which makes a setback. Petty disagreement. Mm-hmm. A little petty sniping, right? Sometimes caused by outside relationships. Have to be sensitive to that. I have actually, this is probably shouldn't admit this, but in groups where we're doing a negotiation alternative to dispute resolution, I have actually literally after the timeout, right, because we're all going to stand up and have a little something and shake our legs and network, I have actually physically separated people like a kindergarten teacher. You sit over there and you sit over there. Mm-hmm. And also, yes, thank you. We've got the, of course, time limits for speaking and taking turns. Right? Keeps people from sniping at each other. Ooh, that's one of the reasons I don't let people type also. Because remember, I don't know, we were all different ages all of you participating in this show are all at different ages, but you've seen my picture and you know that I'm not so terrible young. And texting is the equivalent of passing bad notes. Remember when you pass notes in class? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons I don't let people type during our participation, because I don't want side conversations. If you got something to say, let's hear it. Right? And if it's just going to be, I hate you, well, let's keep that outside this room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, petty disagreement. You know, Misha and others are agreeing that lack of consensus sometimes occurs when you have different reasons for the same goal. Yeah. And that's where you have to, and that does sometimes create lack of consensus until it's pointed out by the leader, usually, that you really are in consensus. Yeah. You really want the same thing. The different reason for wanting it is outside the scope of this, of the meeting, of the group. Mm-hmm. We're just going to work towards the mission, the goal. Mm-hmm. And why? Well, you know, a lot of times there's people asking for an example of different reasons for the same goal. Well, the most prevalent one that I've seen, and thank you, quite a few of you are giving this, is that some participants have an economic reason for wanting something changed or for wanting something to be put into existence, but that's changed too. They have an economic reason. They're a purveyor of product that will get a benefit if something happens, if the goal is met, or they are a business or a purveyor of product. Sometimes they're even not product so much, they are a service provider that will be damaged if something happens, and therefore their goal is to prevent something from happening. But it's the same goal, right? So whatever the group goal is, they have an economic interest in seeing it occur. There are other people in the room, other participants, who have a social interest in seeing the goal succeed. Mm-hmm. They want it not because it makes a difference to their pocketbook, but because it makes a difference to their, to the world, to the society. And sometimes there's even a third group, which is very common, where they have a social interest, but it directly impacts them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people ask me for an example. I actually have a very good I have a good example, yes. And I actually was a part of this, which is how I'm so certain of it, and it's always the one that comes to mind. There was a group that had the same goal in mind, that they wanted to have an ecological revitalization of salmon fishing, salmon in the Elwha River, which is in this area. It involved government because there had been a dam that had been put up many, many, many years ago, and it needed to be refurbished, whatever they call it when you do dams. It needed to be, have some upgrades, they refer to it as. And there was a group that said instead of refurbishing the dam and making it modern, because it was still there and it was still working, we want it taken down. Now, that's a pretty big goal. It involves the government, and it involves money. And the government hates things that involve money. And the thing was already there, and it was already producing electricity and 43 other things. But it was obsolete, and there was funding for making it modern, right? People said, no, we don't want you to come in and pour more concrete. We want you to take it down. And a lot of groups, and I was one of the people that helped with this to get it all straightened out, a lot of groups with different agendas wanted the same thing. We want the dam removed. Mm-hmm. And then there were groups that wanted the dam to be there, mainly government-type groups, because they did studies and stuff. It took a long time. There were a lot of studies, and you know how it is with government. In the United States, government is slow, but to tell you the honest truth, all government is slow and kind of lethargic. You know how it's hard to get movement, to get them to get off the idea that that's there and it must be a good thing, right? Right. And you had groups who had a social interest in having the salmon run again. And they were mostly Native Americans and other people who had a culture that had to do with salmon fishing. Yeah. And that's a real different reason than we want to have commercial viability along the route where the dam would be removed, right? Because they had a real cultural and religious idea about it. And you had people who had a financial stake in having the dam removed, right? They wanted to, well, you had contractors that wanted contracts to remove and to revitalize the area. You had businesses in the area, would create a lot of tourism, it would revitalize the whole area to economic interests. And then you had ecologists, people that wanted to have the area revitalized because of the wildlife. Mm-hmm. So you had a whole bunch, and about half a dozen other types of people who had an interest in having the dam removed. It was all different reasons. And, you know, I kept saying it didn't make, but the reason really didn't make any difference ultimately, because they all had the same goal. So they all had to get together and say, this is our goal, and why we want it is important to us, but not important to the process, so that we can fight together forward, right? And it worked. Yeah, the Elwha is being in the process of being revitalized, and there is a salmon run now. Salmon spawn and things, and they actually will revitalize if given the chance. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly fast, too, if I may say so. The process, once we got it all unstopped, the process actually, the natural process, is actually taking much less time than all the ecologists and experts, you know, that's where expert opinion comes in. Right, right. Experts, and like that said, it would, it's kind of like, look, the salmon are back, fantabulous. Whoop, there they are. So it's wonderful. But anyway, so that's an example of a group that has different reasons for the same goal. Mm-hmm. And the goal was definite. It was, and the goal would accommodate all of our reasons, and we got together, the groups together, because the bigger the group, the better it is to talk to the government with, right? And it was a real groundswell because we could all see that however it is we wanted the goal, it was something we wanted together. Yeah, so it was great. So that's different reasons for the same goal. And sometimes that does create lack of consensus until somebody, which would be us, the leader, points out, what are we doing? We need to get together and make consensus we're going to reach the goal. Who cares why? Yeah, basically speaking. Jesse and others are saying that lack of consensus occurs also when you have participant animosity. Mm-hmm. They come in not liking each other. Sometimes this is prejudice or bigotry, right? We've talked about that in prior shows. Sometimes it's personal, which I think is even worse than bigotry and prejudice, which can be overcome with learning and with good example. Outside animosity, I've seen it. Of course, we all have. Yes, the ex-spouses and ex-lovers and ex-everything that come in. I see this sometimes with workplace issues. The animosity is because somebody was somebody's boss or they had a problem within the department or whatever, and they just, it's just boiled, come out into the participation. Uh-huh. I actually, this is good for a timeout to talk to each side, right? That's why we do the timeouts with the food and like that. Gives us a chance to talk to each side. I have actually in my day, because I've been doing this a really long time, you know how I always say do it in private and you know, talk to the people and work it around and be diplomatic. If you've got real animosity and it's the people are sniping at each other, I actually enforce the civility rules like a grammar school teacher, like a kindergarten teacher. Remember, we talk about the civility rules all the time, and people are mentioning them now. Yes, the civility rules are no fighting, no being rude, no bullying, and like that. And if you've got that in the room, you've got to stop it right away and just embarrass them in front of everybody and make it stop. Mm-hmm. You bet. Elizabeth says that a lot of you have sort of an equivalent. She says if that happens and they won't do it, she makes them each stand in a corner. You're doing the dunce cap. Fantabulous. Whatever works. You know, one of the rules of Recipe for Peace now is that there really are no rules. You do whatever works, right? Yeah. And if you've got to make them stand in a corner, I guess that works. If that worked, it works. Yeah. Gui and others are saying that the lack of consensus that causes us to have a setback is often a third-party interference. Somebody outside of the group is taking an interest and influencing the participants. Oftentimes some sort of a leader that some of the participants listen to, perhaps. But there's third-party interference. A lot of times when that happens, if it's really causing us to have a stall, a setback, a bump in the road, it depends, I'm going to say that again, it depends on the situation, but sometimes I invite the third party to come and talk to us so we can see what's happening, so we can see their opinion in action. This oftentimes diffuses the third party because they want to gripe and make the participant they're influencing do something, because that's fun. But when they're actually called to task and say, you know, I understand that you're taking an interest. Come on down and talk to us. Mm-hmm. Give us your expert opinion, right? Mm-hmm. That makes them about their opinion and how unreasonable perhaps it might be. Yeah, there's nothing like making somebody show their face that causes them to stop that. I'm quite big on that. Good point. Sometimes the third party is being pointed out. That is an overreaching outside interference that's not interfering with a participant, but interfering with our goal of the group. a government, a rule, an organization, something that we're trying to deal with, and you've got third-party interference. Yes, I think the same rules apply about finding out why and what can be done. And oftentimes when that happens, I also call in the official, ask them to give an opinion, ask them for their expert advice, right? Yeah, because after all, this interference is often being done by person, right, an administrator of some sort. And I like to know why and what they're doing and why they think that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm blessed to live in the United States, and we don't usually have real government interference like that. And I see that some of you do. A diplomatic, oh, I don't want to get any in trouble. Really. I mean, because, you know, I don't want people with guns to show up on your doorstep. That would be bad and hard to negotiate with. Yes. I would say that media would help with third-party interference. Now, if you're in a country with a lot of censorship, you'll have to think about that. Mm-hmm. And I must confess that I have never, some of our people are in countries and in areas where there is more third-party interference than I usually see. Mm-hmm. I usually work in the United States, and there's laws and things, but we have a lot of freedom to try to change the laws. I'm going to say that you need to use your experience and ask for the expert opinion of someone else who is working in the same area. If you're getting third-party interference that might impact your safety or your freedom, because that's kind of serious, and that needs to be dealt with so that you're not in that position. I would say social media and a lot of followers would help. But unfortunately, I have seen instances where governments have not taken kindly to that. And I don't want any of you to get into trouble, but sometimes something needs to be addressed, and perhaps you could include the government officials. Mm-hmm. And work it around so that, you know, the main thing is, all right, this, yeah, we're going off course, aren't we? Yeah. But really not, because the third-party interference is a more serious event in some areas of the world than others. It has been my experience with government officials all over the world that the main thing they worry about is their authority and not having it insulted or breached, really. So perhaps one could be diplomatic and include the government in the discussions, the government official, so that they could feel in control and work it around so that it's kind of their idea to modify. You see, it's all a process, right? It's got steps. And you might need to take smaller steps to keep going forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. I'm getting agreement with this. I don't know if it's agreement for people that actually have the problem. That would be, a lot of you are going for secrecy. Well, maybe initially, but when something has to be done, you're kind of no longer secret, I think. Yeah, I'm... It's okay, it's been my experience, and certainly without having very serious repercussions, it's been my experience that secret is complicated and not very secret. And that's really kind of the truth. And so I hesitate to think about secret because you get a group together, somebody probably is going to blog about it or something, or tell someone else who tells someone else and like that. So yes, if you must, be very perhaps aware of the fact that it's possible that secrets are not always so secret. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, I'm going to say that's good. That is not an experience that I've had because I am blessed to be in the United States and the government. We've got layers and layers of government, and we've got lots of government officials, and they've all got little tender skins and tender egos and like that. And you have to deal with them because you want to get somewhere. But wanting to effectuate a change is what Americans do on a regular basis, and that is not something that they don't expect and will not accommodate if you reach them properly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I have a completely different experience, and it is, well, all right. So some of you are going for Homeland Security and like that, but generally speaking, you can meet and discuss whatever it is you want to discuss, so long as it's not, I guess so long as it's not a terrorist act, so long as it's not going to hurt somebody. And really, I've never been in a discussion, and I would not have a group that was going to advocate some sort of a violence or something like that. I mean, so that's an entirely different type of group, and I assume none of us do that. Because that's not the – we're trying to have common good, a common goal, a common good, and not something that will cause harm in any way. Well, I suppose, people are going, well, economic harm maybe if it goes against somebody, but not the kind of harm where you blow something up or really, you know, attack civilians or something horrid or even a government base or something. Yeah, so we don't do those kinds of things. I would say be diplomatic and inclusive and secret with very big caution, if you've got to be secret. I don't have experience on it, and I don't know what kind of, you know, I'm getting all kinds of general ideas, but I don't know how much experience with that most of our participants have. So I'm sorry, but I don't have a real definite answer. The answer is do it in small steps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And never advocate overthrowing anything if you can possibly help it. Because that's going to bring some interesting... Well, you know, in the United States, for example, we have federal law, and we have state law, and we have city law, and we have, like, municipal law. So we've got lots of layers of government officials. They're all voted in, basically speaking, or appointed by someone who's been voted on. So they're all very aware that their jobs only last for a couple of years until they either get voted in again or fired. The people fired them. They vote them out. So that makes a real big difference in our country. And it means that the people, the groups, do have a great deal of influence, do have a great deal of say in what goes on, and opinions change, and the government changes slowly, like my dam example, but it will change. It will accommodate, progress, I suppose, is what it really is, but it will accommodate new laws and new ideas and revisions and things like that without, well, you have to have a lot of participation. It takes a while. Everything takes a while in these things, the process. But without any kind of feeling that they're being threatened. Yeah, without any kind of bloodshed is what I was really going to say. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm going to say it depends. You got to think really hard on how to work within your circumstances, which is always true. You need to be able to work within your circumstances so that you can be effective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's my best shot on third-party interference. That's that totalitarian. Yeah. That truly dangerous. Because I usually deal with third-party interference that may be noxious, but not actually dangerous to my freedom or to my life. You know what I mean? You could work at it. That's a biggie. And I don't know what to tell you except for take small steps and be as inclusive as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. That would be, yeah. I'm really sorry about that. Mm. We also have other things that do for lack of consensus. Oops, we're going to run out of time. We're not getting to the recipes again this time. That's all right. It means we've had a good conversation. And also, Caroline and others are saying that you have lack of consensus when you've got too broad a focus. We can't decide because we don't know what we're doing. You see, it's not like the dam. We knew what it was we were doing. That's a definite thing, and we knew it when we had it. When the thing goes down, you've got it. You know that you've succeeded. See, it's definite. Sometimes the goal is not as definite, as easy to see, and that's when you need to narrow your focus because you need to be able to see what the goal is. Yes, and you need to know when you've got it. If you don't know what it is, how are you going to know when you've achieved it is the question. Yeah, you don't know. We haven't gotten it yet. Well, how do you know? Well, I don't know. You know, that's no good. You need to narrow your focus so that you know what it is that you want. Yes, people are going for a mission statement. Those of you who have been here before know that I'm cautious about the sentence mission statement because I think sometimes if you don't really need to write it down, and sometimes you do. And if it's going to take a tremendous amount of time and process to get it together, you have to decide if it's worth it. Because people argue about the wording of a mission statement kind of lots. Mm-hmm. And then it has to be rewritten and like that. It depends if it's important because the process is long going or it's going to take too much time and cause people to quit the group because you're not getting anywhere. So that's my caution. And also Anand and others are saying that you have a lack of consensus because of bias that impedes progress. Because of bias that impedes progress. Yeah. We've talked about preconceived notions and bias and prejudice and all kinds of nasty things. And prior shows, recipeforpeacenow.com. They're all archived on the website. It is an interesting point that come in. It's kind of like animosity, except I think of animosity as more personal, as in I don't like you because I know you as a person. We've had prior experience with each other as individuals, and let's just say it didn't work out, right? A bias and prejudice I think more of as a learned cultural trait that has to do with a type of person and not with the individual sitting there right now, this instant. And sometimes that does impede progress, at least in the beginning, because we do the timeout, we do the discussion, right? We have take turns in speaking, and we find out through the networking of the potluck and like that, that we can deal with this specific person for this specific goal. That's all we want. You know, it's like I always say, you don't have to be friends. You just have to be able to work together to reach the goal. There's no requirement that you have dinner outside of the group. No. I mean, sometimes that happens. But really, you need to be able to reach the goal and consensus on how to get there. That's all. And so you need to put, you help as the leader. You help people to put aside their biases. It is not, sometimes they've held them for, you know, a long time. And it was something taught to them by their religious leader, their parents. I mean, something really ingrained. You're not a psychiatrist. You, oh, well, kind of, you act as one, this is true. But you can't, you don't care about whether or not they're going to continue to think that way about the group. You only care of the group that they're biased against. You only care about this group, these participants, reaching the goal that they all would like, regardless of what they think about each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my goal. My goal is to get you to a workable solution, to get you to succeed. And if in the process you learn something about yourself and your prejudices and your biases, well, that's a wonderful thing, and it is a bonus. Yeah. And it is just the bias and the prejudice is relevant to the group because of the interaction. You just have to interact with these participants who represent their group, and we all need to get to a successful conclusion, a successful consensus. That's really the whole idea. Mm-hmm. You know what? We have basically run out of time. Yeah, we're not going to get to those recipes again, are we? I am sorry. I apologize to the people that really look forward to talking about the recipe part. It's just that the conversation is so important, and we have such a good one that, you know, then I look up and all of a sudden we are basically out of time. And so it's kind of like, well, you know, yeah, I suppose I could post. People should just post the recipe if you don't get to it. I'm going to try to get to it next time. And if not, maybe I will. It's kind of like, it's we haven't quite made it, and this is like the fourth time we haven't done the recipes, and I apologize. But it is such an important, yeah, everybody's agreeing that the content, the topic, is the most important part, and the recipes come kind of later. Actually, we have a lot more interesting comments and like that to go. I think next time we're going to have perhaps a continuation of this discussion. Mm-hmm. We do that sometimes if it's got a lot of complexity to it, because we've got a lot of questions about the process itself and like that, and disagreements that cause a setback, a stall in the process. So I think we're actually going to perhaps continue this discussion next week, which we sometimes do. We're basically out of time, which is why I've been saying this. Thank you very much for all of your participation. Thank you for your discussion and for your information. I hope you learned something. I always say I learned something on these shows, and I hope you do too. Thank you for being here. If you would like to contact us, we're recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website is www.recipeforpeacenow.com. The shows are all archived on the website. You can go back and listen to anything you'd like. We've been doing this for a while. Thank you very much for all of your participation. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating and for teaching us all kinds of interesting things. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.